Praise the Lord. Oh, man, there is such a sweet presence in here today, and I'm just so thankful. Glory to God. You know, as I was up here, I was starting to pray. Of course, as I was praying, and I was led to pray for the youth of the area. In that moment, that's something that we should do. But, you know, a lot of times people don't realize that it is through the youth that people come to know God, that people, you know, and even to know Him in a better level. I'm going to use an example, and this is what I asked the Lord to remind me of, but I'm going to use an example of my mom. Now, my mom, of course, is a faithful woman of God. I love her and appreciate her. I think you all do too. But, you know, my mom, when we first started coming to Family Church and we were getting faithful and really seeing the importance of coming to church, she wasn't quite ready to come on over yet. She wasn't quite ready to start coming. You know, my mom was a believer, but she didn't necessarily know the importance of going to church at the time. But it was through my children that reached her. It was because of them asking her, "Nana, will you come to church?" that she decided to start coming. And without the children doing that, without that being instilled in the children first, they would have never done that. And I know that my daughter has reached out to other grandparents and things like that. And, you know, so just to let you know, it is important that we invest in our children. Amen. Because if we don't invest in the children, then it may be our butts on the line too. Amen. Glory to God. And of course, you know, my mom got hold of the word and everything and is faithful and has been faithful for years. Praise the Lord. But it was through that avenue. Am I right in saying that? I mean, I believe that was the reason that she came. And so we're very thankful for that. Amen. There's nothing better than when you release a bunch of Christians in a school, in a local area, just as they're out playing. You know, I know that we have one, he comes faithfully to youth group, praise the Lord. At least often he comes, he doesn't even come to the church. We like to call him Charles. Amen. He was here this year. His name isn't really Charles, but that's what we call him around here. Amen. Well, God will give you a new name. We'll give you a new name too. Just come to church, a youth group, and we'll make sure it happens. But, you know, just every time I hear that he's here, that kid blesses me. And every once in a while, he comes to service too. And praise the Lord. I'm just making sure he's not here today, but he's not. But praise the Lord. But he comes because of the another faithful family, the Swansons. Amen. And we're so thankful for them as well. And so, you know, you see how it spreads out, and that's exactly what it should be. Instead of our children being influenced by the world, how about having our children influence the world? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see some hungry. I remember, you know what's funny? I was a Christian all my life, or I considered myself a Christian. But when I was in high school, I lived like the devil. I lived like the world. But believed in Jesus. I still believed in certain things, you know. But I remember seeing them goofy Christian students, the ones that were in, and I remember one in particular, a young woman. She was, she always was very modest. She was quiet, but you knew she was a Christian. You knew because she carried her Bible around with her everywhere she went. And I, you know, it's funny. She didn't even have to witness to me. She didn't even have to say anything. But just that presence and that willingness to be bold in that way speaks to me even this day. And oftentimes I have no idea. I don't even know her name, to tell you the truth. I don't even remember her in the sense of, like, I wouldn't even know how to look her up. But praise the Lord, those simple interactions, I don't even know if I ever had a conversation with her. But just those simple interactions spoke to me throughout my life and still speaks to me now. Speaks to you today. And so you think about that sometimes. We think the things that we do don't mean much sometimes, but the little things we do can mean everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you all know it's Soup Sunday. Amen. So my wife said, I'm excited about Soup Sunday. So as I came in, I was smelling all kinds of soup, and I don't know if any of them are good, but I'm assuming at least one of them is. And I'm telling you right now, if there's one good out there, I'm going to find it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But until then, why don't we get into the Word, because we got some good stuff to get into today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's in a name? That's today's message. What's in a name? And we're going to be talking about the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're gonna talk about it. We that there's power, or we've always said that there's power in the name, but I'm going to present to you a different perspective, that there is not power in the words Jesus. Okay, I know some of you are like, this guy is now a heretic. He's finally crossed over. That's our cue to leave, but you stick with me, and we're going to get there, amen? I promise you. And if we don't, well, we'll have good soup afterwards anyways. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 12. We're going to start our message here. Matthew 12. Glory to God. I might have learned it from my pastor, but I love controversial titles, and I love controversial, or those titles that make you go, what's he going to say, and or those statements at the beginning. I promise you this won't be too crazy. I believe that if your heart is at all right, you will probably agree with me by the time we're done anyways. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 12, verse 36. It says, of course, is Jesus talking, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Amen. For every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Folks, we have to understand that what we speak is very important. And the place from which we speak it is even more important. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, the number one thing that you, or one of the number one things, the top things that you should learn is that how you speak and what you speak matter. And not just how you speak and what you speak it, but the place from which you speak it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We, you know, people can, they can cut through the garbage real quick. Yes. People can tell real quickly if you're insincere. This is why I'm not... If you are for this, don't think that I'm coming down against you, but I'm not a personal fan of Bible tracts. You know, Bible tracts, the things that you just hand out to people on the street. And the reason I'm not a personal fan of them is because, generally speaking, whenever you see somebody handing out Bible tracts, in the near vicinity around them, you always see a lot of litter. And it's usually Bible tracts. And why is that? Because people, you can hand people a whole list of scriptures, but if they have not been born again, it's going to mean nothing to them. Actually, a lot of times the only ones that keep it are backslidden Christians or Christians who aren't living quite right. You know, and I'm not saying if you hand out Bible tracts and you feel that you're led to do it, by all means, keep doing it. But whatever we do, we need to do it with purpose. So if you believe that you're supposed to, then do it. Amen. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm just saying that in general, it doesn't always work. I remember there was this person, actually, it was a family member. He kind of forgot that I was a family member, but we went to the beach one day down there in Barcelona, and he came up and he was handing out Bible tracts, and they weren't even printed. They weren't even like high quality Bible tracts. They were printed out on his computer with spelling and everything, and then they were cut with scissors, not even a paper cutter, so the lines were straight. What is this? It's just unexcellent. It was on some weird colored paper, handing them out, and it's talking about something to do with Noah or something like that, and then, you know, the flood and things that happened. And they're handing it out to most people, thinking that you're getting people saved, but it just, on the beach, which it just wasn't doing. It just wasn't effective. We need to have purpose in what we see. Say amen. The word careless literally means inactive, unemployed, lazy, or idle. So if we look at this from that standpoint, we can see that that every unemployed word, what's unemployed? It's something that's not working. It's something that's not being useful. It's something that's not doing what it's meant to do. You know, there's a lot of people, and I was going to say this later on, but I'll say it now just because I sense that some of you are still bothered that there's no power in the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a lot of people that use that word, that phrase, that name. They use it as an expletive. They use it as a way to curse. They're not using it for any godly purpose. In fact, if you watch any movie, even movies that won't allow like the F word, and this word I would say using it that way would be much worse than using that word. But even movies that won't allow you to use that, you can use Jesus Christ as a bad word. And that's not a good thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. But there's no power in that. It's not going to change our lives. What we have to do, what we have to understand about that is that's the devil's way of making mockery of what the name really is about. Amen. And that's what we're going to get into here. Is there any power in the words Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. I don't believe there's any power in any words that are not employed made useful. You know, as we're our camp kind of talks a lot about confession and stuff like that. When we were growing, getting trained up, raised up, we had people confession cop you. You ever been confession copped? Oh, you shouldn't say that. That's not a good faith statement. But you know, confession copping kind of takes it to an extreme. Like, I believe in the confession of our words and that we say the right things. But what I believe more is what we say coming from a place of belief is what we really need to be concerned about. For example, if you talk about always being sick, talk about it from the place believing that you're always going to be sick, you can absolutely always be sick. You don't even need the Bible to tell you these things. I said, you don't even need the Bible to tell you these things. They've proved this is psychology is a huge thing. Why do you suppose that God gave us words and told us to renew our mind with those words? Why do you think the Bible says that? Because he understood psychology before psychologists understood psychology. Amen? It's not so much the words you speak, but it's what you believe about the words that you speak. Amen? Is there any power in the words alone, Jesus Christ? I don't believe so. But I believe that when you understand that there's power in the name, that you will that you can see that much differently, and there's much power. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go on. Let's go ahead and flip to Philippians. Didn't mean to say that, even though I do sometimes, but we're going to turn over to Philippians. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. You know, I've been telling you a lot that I've been liking this newer translation. And again, I'm not telling you, you know, if you're comfortable with your translation, I'm not telling you that you have to switch or that you should switch or that it's even righteous. But I will tell you this, that even if you have a translation that you read out of predominantly because you like it, and I'm talking about one of the standard accepted translations of Scripture, not have been altered to fit somebody else's purpose. You know, there's several Christian cults, pseudo-Christian cults that have done that. We're not talking about those where they change things so they can prove something by changing them. But we're talking about standard translations, people who really cared about finding out what the original Greek and the Hebrew and stuff like that, where it come from. Even if you read a certain translation, it's good once in a while to look at it from a different one. And the reason is because it gives you a different perspective. It can give you more well-rounded knowledge. Amen? Now, is there any Bible-specific translation that is perfect? No, there isn't. And the reason is because it's translated and can always make a mistake in that. But there are people study this stuff out, you understand, that go back to the original language, the original things that were said, and they can get a more full, well-rounded knowledge of what's being said. So it's not like it's something that we can't take seriously either, because we can, but there are times we need to look at it from a different way. Amen? And this is one of those things that to be honest with you, the way this message came about, that I went to a translation wrote this message, but it came as this message was being put together, as the Lord stirred me in something specific, and we're going to see that here. Amen. So Philippians 2 verse 9, and it says here, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. Now, the first thing I want to tell you about this scripture is this. This does not mean that if you use the words Jesus Christ, that every knee is going to bow. And many people have proven that out. See, there's a lot of people who try to preach this scripture from the standpoint of this is active now. See, the demons will listen to you because of the scripture. No, the demons have to listen to you, but not because of this scripture. Because this scripture is not talking about today. This scripture is talking about sometime in the future. This scripture is talking about when the kingdom of God is fully come and he has defeated the enemy. Every knee will bow. And that's what this is talking about. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't change the fact that we're given the name. Amen? Now, if you have another translation, like if you take translation, for example, it says a name. He's been given a name. But here specifically, and we know that the purpose of like the was to try to be more accurate according to the original language, which makes sense, and you're going to see it here. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Wiest Word Studies of the Greek New Testament, Volume 3, in case you were wondering, it says about this scripture, or it says about these words, that which was graciously bestowed was not a name, but the name. Amen? The definite article appears in the Greek text and refers to a particular name. The title, the name, is a very common Hebrew title denoting office, rank, dignity. The expression, the name of God, in the Old Testament denotes the divine presence, the divine majesty, especially as the object of adoration and praise. The context here dwells upon the honor and worship bestowed on him upon whom the name was conferred. In other words, this title specifically, the name was given to Jesus. That title was, and that's an important thing, and that's one of those things that you can miss sometimes just by reading over it. Why does this matter? There's no power in just an unemployed word. In the words Jesus Christ, even though it is a proper name, so to speak, really it's a description, because Christ is not Jesus' last name. If you didn't know that, that's the truth. Christ is a description of who he was. It means Savior or Messiah. Amen. The anointed one. Glory to God. And so we understand that. And Jesus was given, his name shall be Emmanuel. We see that. Well, we don't call Jesus Emmanuel. Typically, we call him Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. But we have to understand, it isn't the words that are the power. It's the title that was placed upon him. It's who God designed him to be. The thing that he conferred on him, the thing that he laid on him, was that thing that had authority. And so when we see that, and this is why it's important to understand, and this is why one of the reasons that we come to church, because when we come to church, somebody ought to get some things out. And they ought to be able to go back and say, listen, it matters, because when they did certain things a certain way, see, a lot of people look at Jesus, and I always did too. They look at Jesus and the things he did is just kind of random acts. Jesus did that or he did that. Why did he specifically go to this place? Oh, he just showed up there. No, he didn't. Jesus had specific purpose in going and doing everything he did, including up into the infilling of the Holy Spirit. All of these things had specific reasons. And see, a lot of that is lost on the modern day church, because the modern day church thinks, oh, it's just religion. We've done this. We baptize. Well, now we'll baptize any way we want. We'll baptize this way or that way, whatever's convenient for us. But it was done, and we have to understand the purpose for it. The same thing is with communion. I was raised and took communion once a month. By absolute, it was once a month. It was on the, you could count every Sunday. You could know 10 months from now which Sunday you were going to take communion on. Now, we believe in taking communion, and we do from time to time. Amen. But we haven't made it a religious ritual that we have to do once a month. In fact, we probably should do it soon. It's been a little while. If anybody wants to remind me of that later, we can do that soon. But communion, it has a specific purpose. And see, I didn't understand that growing up. Great, this is a time I get a little bit of bread because I'm hungry. It's almost lunchtime. And I get a little bit of grape juice, and I love grape juice. So that was a good thing. Amen. I often say that when the plate would come by me, they'd cut up the bread into little squares, and I would always scan the plate for just an extra second to see which was the biggest square. And sometimes get my hand to do it slyly enough, I'd grab two squares. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then afterwards, I was always excited to be able to, when they take it down back downstairs into the kitchen where in the church I grew up in, where they had it, and I could go get scarf some more bread. I always love my carbs, amen. Even from a little guy. Praise the Lord. But communion has more purpose than just that. In fact, I remember even when I first started taking Marky to church, well, this was before Caleb existed, so Marky was just a little tyke, probably about 3 years old. I remember going to a certain church, and we were having communion, and I took him with me. And some churches won't let you take kids. And I didn't know even what it meant, but I told them the best that we could, but it wasn't good enough. It just, this represents the blood in the body of Jesus. Okay, great, Dad, but why are we eating Jesus? You know what I mean? Nobody understands this stuff. Amen. But there's purpose in it. There's purpose for it. God didn't just have us do things because it sounded good to him. You know, I learned this, studies this week. Have you ever heard the phrase scapegoat or the term scapegoat? Now we all know what a scapegoat is. A scapegoat is literally it's somebody that you blame for something, right? That you did or whatever that someone else did, and that's how they get away with it, right? But do you know that that's actually connected to literature? It was, not just literature, but action. What they did in the Old Testament is they brought two goats, and one to be sacrificed and one to be sent out and to put impart the sins of the people on, and then be sent out into the wilderness to die or do whatever it did. You know, to essentially the symbolism was to get the sin away from the camp. And that's what it was. But that's where that, you know, that comes from. There's a lot of things that are in our culture even that come from biblical understanding, but a lot of people just don't understand it. So are these things important? I absolutely think they're important. But we're people of purpose. We should be doing things according to purpose. We should know that what we're doing. We should know why we praise. Why do we worship God? Do you realize that when we do worship here, this is not your worship for the week? When we do worship here, the only purpose of worship in the service is to bring people into a place to receive in the service, to get that place of their hearts and their eyes on God. That's what the purpose for it. It is not, we don't have somebody up here to perform. In fact, I've instructed Marky from the very beginning. If you're singing it, it better be on the screen. Why? Because you're not up there performing. He's not a performance artist. That's not his purpose. His purpose is to be here, and he understands that, and he does it well. Praise the Lord. But we don't do worship because we like a certain worship. We do worship that brings us into that place of what worship is supposed to be, and that's receiving from God. We want stuff that's scriptural. We want stuff that draws our eyes and our hearts toward him. That's why we do the songs we like. There are some songs that I've heard that I thought, man, that's a great song. We've tried it out. That would be really good to listen to as a Christian, just on the Christian radio or whatever, or in your car or in your house or whatever, if you want to listen to some good godly music. But it's not a song that should be used in worship. Another thing that we've done was we used to do that were, you know, more maybe more mainstream popular songs that were mainstream among Christians. But as I've learned things about their camp and the things that they teach, and some of the things are even just not good. They're just plain evil, to tell you the truth. I've said we're gonna nix those songs because we don't even want to bring that in here. And so that's why we don't do other songs. But what I'm saying in all of this is that we don't want to be unemployed. The Bible tells us that we will give an account for every word that is unemployed, every word that is useless. And so we need to be more purposeful in what we. We need to be more purposeful in what we believe, amen? And the only way to get, and I'm finding this, as I have started breaking down the man's rules, and what I mean by that is, you know, people put all kinds of rules on you. You got to put this way, and for this much time, and you got to do this. And you got to have this much, you know, word time, and you should do this or that. But see, I've been breaking all that down in my own life and just desiring to just find God, to just get before him. And what I mean find God, I don't mean going out into the woods somewhere and trying to find God. I don't mean that I'm trying to drive down the street and see him in a cloud or something like that. But I mean as I'm seeking God through his word, through the word that he's given me, guess what happens? God starts revealing himself more to me. And as he does that, all of a sudden I found my life has a lot more peace. Because I put down even what I believe. I put down even the way I think about things. I was like, this is my natural bent this way, but you know what, God, it don't matter. I'm going to put that down for you. I just want to know you more. And you know what happens? He and the byproduct of that is life that's blessed. Life with less stress. A life where I feel, you know, where I wake up in the morning and I have purpose and I'm glad I woke up, because there was many days where I woke up and I didn't want to wake up anymore. Praise the Lord. And so we understand that if the closer that we draw into God, you know, the purpose of why we're doing Tuesdays, the way we've been doing them, with teaching people how to hear from the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Holy Spirit, because it's hard, but because we want people to have that purity of that relationship between them and God. Because ultimately, someday, you're going to be in trial that I can't help you with. Ultimately, someday, you're going to be in a spot that you can't phone a friend. Someday, you're going to be in a spot where you're not going to know what the answer. But if you know how to relate to the Holy Ghost, if you know how to hear from God, then there'll be an open door, and it's with you all the time. He's with you all the time. Amen? When I said it, I didn't mean him. I meant the open door. But he is with us all the time. If we teach our kids this way, guess what your kids get raised up knowing? That God is always with them. That he's ever present. That it doesn't... Listen, there will be things in life that will come against you. There'll be things that will try to stop you as the best Christian, the most faithful Christian. In fact, the more that you walk with God, the more things will come against you. But that doesn't matter, because the more you walk with God, the more you learn, those things have no bearing or no control over your life. They can't stop you. They can't control you. Not unless you let them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we need to learn to not care what it looks like, but care what the word looks like. Amen. Praise the Lord. The name. We were talking about the name. It's a title. It was a Hebrew title. It was specific. You know, in there's a lot of things about Jesus in his ministry that were just like that. Jewish customs. He answered the Jews according to their customs. Yeah. Praise God. He did things according to Jewish customs to fulfill certain things so that it could be said that, you know, that he was right and he was fine. And so we understand that there is importance to these things. Now, when I say importance to these things, I'm like, if you didn't get the words the name, but a name, is that going to destroy your life? It's not going to. But the purpose of what I'm bringing to you today is to, the way we approach God is not superstitiously, because a lot of Christians, I'm just going to tell you right now, are superstitious. Yeah. They think, oh, I did something bad, so God's going to punish me. It's not the way that it works. God didn't send you Jesus just so he could punish you more. Right. Praise the Lord. God doesn't even want to punish you. Is there any parents in here? If you're a parent, raise your hand. Well, there's a lot of parents in here. So if you're a parent, have a child, at least one child, maybe more than one child. If you've ever had to discipline your child, if you've raised your hand, then you've probably had to discipline your child at least once. Amen. If you've ever had to discipline your child, let me ask you a question. Did you enjoy it? No, of course you didn't. Why? Because you love your child. You want things to go good for them. But you also know that sometimes you can't let them go good, go the way that they're trying to go, because it just isn't good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Discipline is part of being a good parent. God isn't looking, you weren't looking for an extra way to smash your child. You weren't like, you know, unless you, and if you did, you're a bad parent. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Yeah. You know, even as mad as my kids have made me at different times in life, I have never wanted to be in the position of hammering down on them. Do you know what I mean? I've been using that metaphorically. I never hammered them. At least not with a hammer. I didn't ever hammer you, did I? No. Praise the Lord. You call that a hammer? No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But, you know, we there's no pleasure in that. God takes no pleasure in it either. God sent us Jesus so we could be set free, so we could be helped. Yeah. Amen? So God isn't looking. Now, that doesn't mean there's not consequences for what we do, but the consequences for what we do are not tied to God. In fact, the way to avoid the consequences is tied to God. Yeah. And one of the ways that we do that is through faith and trust in God. We understand that, you know what, we messed up, but we can still move forward. Yeah. Because we got Jesus on our side. Now, that does not give us an excuse to go out and live like a bunch of morons. Amen. And we're not going to do that either. Why aren't we going to do that? Because that would be unfruitful. It would be purposeless. Amen. Glory to God. We want to live as God has made us to live. Amen. And we want to, and that's with purpose. And so we have to understand that there is power in the name, but we need to rest and rely on that fact. That when we say, you know, one of the things the Lord has been dealing with me on is in the way that we pray for just random things, the way we pray for food. And if you'll notice, the way that I pray for food, probably if you've been around me at all, I'm not just rushing through a prayer. I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to think about what I'm doing. Now, I was saying to my wife last night as we were heading to Corey, that doesn't mean that every prayer has to be 10 minutes. Amen. Some prayers are going to be 10 seconds, and that's fine with God. It's not the length of the prayer that matters. It's the substance of the prayer. When you pray to God, are you honestly reflecting? Are you just saying words out of religious duty? See, a lot of people just do things out of religious duty, and they have no relationship with God.
Right.
I'm going to take this one step further, and something that we've noticed a lot in the churches in general. There are people in churches that are very faithful to the church. There are people that are in churches that are very faithful to serve. They're there every day. They're there for hours. They're even there when their pastor doesn't know. But they have zero relationship with God.
Yeah.
I said zero relationship with God. How do you know this? Because when trial comes into their life, they can't even deal with it. And then you ask them, have you been praying? No, we don't pray. Have you been in the Word? No, we haven't been in the Word. Well, how are you going to expect to be set free then? If you haven't been praying and you're not in the Word, you're not going to be set free.
Right.
So you can serve hours a week in the local church, and that's doing no good. Now, that doesn't say don't serve in the local church. We should serve in the local church. And what does that mean? It means a lot of things and different things for different people.
Yeah.
Amen? It doesn't just mean that you wash the windows or that you vacuum the floor or that you clean the toilets or whatever. There's lots of different kinds of serving.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's people that get into a habit of serving, but not serving God. Why do we do this thing? And you better not even do this thing for me.
That's right.
You may like me. You may like me a lot. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. And maybe if you do, and I ask you to do something, you want to do something just to be pleasing to me. That's wrong. No, there's nothing wrong with wanting to please other people in the sense of I want to be nice to other people and I want other people to feel happy. You know, we should have that about our lives. But if you're not coming to church and serving in the church and giving in the church and doing the things you do in the church, if you're not coming and doing that for God, there's something wrong. There's something big. You've missed the whole point, in fact. You can miss, there are Christians that miss their whole life because what they do is man's rules. They appease man and they forget about God. We have to do what we do for God. And that's why we're corrected for God. That's why we allow ourselves to be corrected. Because it isn't about me, it isn't about you, it's about Him. When God says to do this, then I do that because that's what blesses Him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we have to know why we're doing things. We have to know why we call Him. Not just because it was His name. It's because of the thing that He did. The name. And what Philippians is telling us here, in fact, it starts off that. It says, for this reason also. Go back to verse 9. Look how it starts off. For this reason also. If you read in context before this, it tells us what that reason was.
Yeah.
The reason that He was given that title was because of what He sacrificed for us.
Yeah.
Because of what He laid down in His own life. Because of the things that He did, because of that reason, God also highly exalted Him and then gave Him that title. So when we take the name of Jesus, we shouldn't look at it just, oh, I'm just saying the name of Jesus, or He's my Lord and Savior. A lot of people just say that. Say, Jesus is my Lord, but they don't mean it. How do you know? Well, because they don't live it. If you don't live as Jesus is your Lord, He ain't your Lord. You can say anything you want. You can say that you're a Christian, but if you don't honestly submit to Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. And why should I submit to Him? For this reason. This is the reason. Because if God saw it as a reason to highly exalt Him and give Him a title that was more important than every other title that exists, that's what it's telling us. Amen? Then we should have reason to submit to Him. But when we understand that God loves us, when we understand that Jesus loved us, praise the Lord. Much so that He paid the price He did for us. When we understand that, it's not hard to do that.
Right.
Turn with me to Romans. Praise the Lord. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. Now, we talk about this scripture almost weekly, or the one coming up. We'll start in verse 8. It says here, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. See, this, we'll go ahead and go back to the verse 9. This is a key here. Believe in your heart that God, or you confess with your mouth that Jesus, you confess Jesus as Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about confession, this is exactly what I'm talking, and this is the point of the sermon. See, you do something here that you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord.
Yeah.
But you also believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that God made him is so, yeah. That he is just what he said. That's the way to salvation. There's no other way. That's the simplest way. There's no other way to God, but there's no harder way either. I said there's no other way, but there's no harder way. This is the easiest thing in the world. You have to just look at the word and say, okay, it's true, or it's not. And if you don't believe it's true and you want to be saved, you can go to God. If you're not saved, you can go to God and say, Lord, I want to believe. Help me believe. We see evidence of that in Scripture.
Yeah.
What about just this in general? What if you're dealing with a situation? What if you're dealing with a situation in your life, and you know that your reaction or what's happening in you isn't lining up with the Word? How do you deal with that? You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I see it in your Word. I know it in your Word. I want it to be active in my life because I know it's in your Word and I know it's truth. But I'm not there yet.
Right.
Help me get there. And if you will go with that kind of faith, that's saving faith. That will save you from anything. That will save you from you.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I love being saved from me because God, by God, I need it over and over and over. I can get me into more. Imagine. Hallelujah. And I know you can too. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. You can go to verse 10 now. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. But look at what the mouth confesses, what one believes.
Yes, yes.
And so confession to just say Jesus Christ is not doing anything, but to say it from a place of belief.
Yes.
When you say, when I pray, end that prayer in Jesus' name, saying, I should be saying, I believe this with my whole heart. That what I've just prayed, it's coming to pass. What I've just said, because the Word tells me so, excuse me, because the Word told me so, that when I pray it, I'm going to have faith. That when I come to God, Lord, I want to be better. I need more wisdom in showing me or what you want me to do. I leave that prayer in Jesus' name with the idea that I completely believe what I've just said. See, you can pray. I've done this before. We would pray our prayer. We had and it was started by me, but we would pray our meal prayer. Every meal we pray, unless we forget, and then we apologize, and then we pray anyways, right? Praise the Lord. But every meal we pray. Every meal we would say the same things. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to our body. In Jesus' name, amen. Make it just that simple. And sometimes we make it that simple because really people just don't want to sit there and pray. They don't want to sit, they want to get to eating. But we would see how fast we could say it because we want to get to the food quicker. But then all of a sudden the Lord started dealing with you even bothering. Because
yeah.
It's not, that's nothing.
Right.
You're not confessing, you're not blessing your food.
That's right.
What you're doing is you're doing some superstitious duty.
Yeah.
But it has no bearing on anything. See, when I pray, I better believe that what I'm praying is going to come to pass, or I better stop before I open my mouth because those are useless words and start thinking about what I'm about to pray and get right before God so then I can go to God and pray to him with faith and say, Lord, I believe your word. He said, your food is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Do you believe that? Well, when I go to eat, when I sit down before my mouth, I better believe that. When I take something into my body, whether you take medicine, whether you take whatever, you can take medicine in your body, believing and pray for it, believing that God will use it to better your body.
Yeah.
Take vitamins. I take my Flintstone vitamins almost every day. And if you think I'm lying, come to my house. I'll show you where they are in the cupboard. I have Flintstone vitamins. Why do I take them? Not because I think anything about the vitamins, because I love the taste of Flintstone vitamins. That's the truth. I will say this. please don't ever let Walmart give me this with iron again, because those are gross. I'm still taking them, but they're gross. Not super gross, but they're mostly gross. Praise the Lord. But I still take them. I take it as a blessing to my body. When we do things, we do them. We know we're doing this as a blessing under, because we try to do everything in faith. And this is how a Christian should live, in faith. That when you, the Bible says, you'll be blessed when you leave and blessed when you come, or the way around. You'll be the head, not the tail. How do these things apply? By faith. Yeah. That I know I'm blessed. I said, I know I'm blessed. I don't have to have any evidence of it yet. How do I know I'm blessed? Because the Bible tells me. Because he's my God. Because Jesus, the one who is highly exalted, said I was blessed. He died to ensure that I was blessed. And because of that, I'm going to live blessed by God. I'm going to live less. I'm going to live blessed. Hallelujah. But what I mean by that is I'm not talking about some crazy prosperity that I could just go ask for whatever I want or seek whatever I want and it's all going to come, because that's a bunch of garbage. I said, that's a bunch of garbage. What I believe in is this, that God will see to it that I am blessed, and I'm okay with that. And sometimes I got to know the things that belong to me, and I will be okay with that. Sometimes the things I want, God's going to tell me no. Sometimes the things you're going to want, God's going to tell you no. And that's okay, because if he tells you know it wouldn't have blessed you, even though you thought it would bless you. So stop calling blessed being what, getting what you want. Be blessed in what God has for you. On the other hand, let's not live a life where we just go, I guess this is my lot in life. I guess God just didn't want me to have this. I guess God just didn't want me happy. So this is the miserable life I got to live. You know, I am being a little bit extreme there, but that's exactly the way other people live. And so we got to find some balance in the middle, which is called the Word of God, which is called truth. Amen. We're going to stop going down that line. Does God want your family blessed? Absolutely. Why? Do you want your family blessed? Now I'll say this, if you don't want your family blessed, now maybe your extended family you don't want blessed. I get that. Amen? We all got that in the family, you know, we all got those people in the family. It's like, not that even so much that you don't want them blessed, but you just like, ugh. You know what I mean? We've all been there, right? Praise the Lord. But look at your kids, look at your spouse. Praise the Lord. You want them blessed. Why do you want them blessed? Because you're a good person, and I believe it. And if you don't believe it, come ask me afterwards, and I'll tell you, you're a good person. You want to be blessed. So God wants you blessed too. Yeah. So we don't throw it all out the window just because somebody preaches it wrong. We're just going to preach it right. Amen? Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. To confess is to declare boldly and openly from a place of belief. That's what salvation is. Yeah. Do you know how we have a salvation prayer that we all pray. Sometimes I change it up a little bit, right? Sometimes I pray it a little bit differently. That there is no one salvation prayer. Do you know how we know there's no one salvation prayer? Because Jesus told us to be saved, and nobody gave us one salvation prayer. There's no salvation prayer. There's just belief. I often go to the thief on the cross. I love the one that was right. The other thief on the cross. He said, Lord, I'm worthless. I've done nothing good. He said, all he asked him, he didn't even ask him really to forgive himself, forgive him then. He said, just remember me when you get in your kingdom. He was recognizing that Jesus was Lord and stating it with his mouth. And by doing so, Jesus said, today you'll be with me. Yep. I guarantee you, life is over. You're dead. You're hanging on a cross. You ain't coming down. Right. Praise the Lord. Sometimes that's the place we got to. Yeah. But he said, I'll still save you. Yeah. I'll still save you. Glory to God. That's how good our God is. So let's not doubt this anymore. If you're in a place where maybe things aren't quite perfect, be okay with it. Be okay with it because you know who God is. Don't be okay with it in the sense that you just, okay, I'm just going to accept my poverty. I'm going to accept my lack. I'm going to accept my sickness. That's not what I'm saying. Don't twist what I'm saying. But take what I'm saying as the truth. The truth of the word says that God works all things good to those who love him. Right? Yeah. To those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Yeah. Not their purpose, his purpose. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is no power in the words Jesus Christ. There is only power when one believes in that name and what the name is. When we perform rituals, our focus is taken off of the power and placed upon the objects. There's nothing wrong with a Christian wearing a cross. But if you're wearing a cross today, I'm going to tell you something. There's no power in it. There's no power in it. It's not a lucky rabbit's foot. A lot of people, Christian people, good Christian people that believe that if I rub this enough or something, or if I have this here, listen, like I know people like vampire movies and stuff like that. If you like that type of thing, I'm just going to tell you right now, crucifix ain't going to do anything for you, but the word of God will. So if you deal with vampires, the best way to deal with vampires is with the word of God, to know who you are in Jesus, Him as your Savior. Because guess what? Dracula isn't more powerful than Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The real Jesus, that is. Yeah. Amen. Well, we are in the spooky season, right? Is that what people are calling it? The spooky season? It ain't the spooky season. It's never spooky for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It ain't spooky for me. That's one of the reasons I hate horror movies. Because horror movies, all they do is exalt the devil. They exalt the devil and they make us look like we can't do anything about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, where are we? Where are we here? Yeah, when we perform rituals, we're taking our focus off from the power and placing it on the objects.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I recently met with the other ministers in Corey. It was the first time in the almost 5 years we've been there. I finally got a time when I could meet with them all, and we were all down there and we were getting together, and I was pleasantly surprised by this group of people. We had people from all denominations, and I mean a bunch of different Christian denominations, and with varying beliefs, and nobody was like really hating. Not really, they weren't at all. It was great. Like the Mennonite guy thought I was fine. And the uber charismatic guy thought I was good too. And they liked each other. And there was even a Catholic priest, and I love what he said. This guy was top notch in my book. He told me when we were going around doing our introductions, he said, "I am the least Catholic priest you'll ever meet." I love that. Why? Because all of these people did the same thing. They took the focus off the denomination and put it on God. We're here for God. That's what they're there. We're here to serve God in our community. That was the focus. They get to things, and I'm not saying that we'll do that or it should be done. I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm saying this, that they all united under the belief that matters, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they're here to serve Him. I love that about it. Amen? Praise the Lord. The power is not in words, but the authority the words speak of. For so many, Jesus is the image in a frame on a church wall. You know, the pretty blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus? You know, I think we got one back here somewhere, the mostly blonde hair or whatever. And that Jesus, you know, the ultra-white Jesus. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. The very obvious Scandinavian Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? Like we all see that Jesus. But you know, Jesus looked nothing like that. Amen. But to a lot of people, that's the image of Jesus. That's what they have. Sinners use Jesus Christ as a curse word, and there's no power transmitted. Of course, we already talked about that. I want to get here. We've got a few minutes. We're going to get there. John 8:31. And we were just in these scriptures, Pastor. Yeah. We're going from a different purpose. We really are. Totally different purpose than what we usually go to. John 8:31. Hallelujah. So Jesus saying to those Jews who had believed, Look what it says. He was saying to the Jews that believed him. Yeah. Right? This is important for us. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. The truth is what makes you free if you continue in his word. He was saying to the Jews, I get that you're Jews. Doesn't matter to me that you're Jews. You believed me. Amen? Yeah. See, that's the whole thing about Christianity. It doesn't matter if you're a Methodist. Doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or a Catholic. It doesn't matter what you put the name you want to put on it. Who do you belong to? If you belong to the church, you're nothing. Because the church, the name of the church, Baptist is nothing. Methodist is nothing. Apostle is nothing. Catholic is nothing. Those words are nothing. There's no power. None of those names died for you. None of those names were conferred on Jesus. None of those names were given to the Son of the Most High. None of those names were given to the one who conquered hell and the grave. Praise the Lord. What name was? The name. Hallelujah. The name was given to him. And the name isn't just a name. It's not just words, but it's what the title is. Amen? Remember that. So if you continue with his words, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered, listen to this. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Wow, this is interesting. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house, the son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you have heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. Amen. These religious people thought they were good because of their natural heritage, because of who they were. They thought they were fine. But notice, none of that mattered. He said, it's what you believe that matters. Now, I want you to do this kind of homework. I know we're going to turn here, and it's good because we don't have much time left. But go to Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 19, and read about Abraham. Okay? If you do that, you'll be blessed. But this is what you'll see. By faith, Abraham went. By faith, Abraham dwelt or lived. By faith, he received. By faith, he sacrificed. By faith, Abraham trusted in God. Hallelujah. Abraham was justified because of what he did in his belief. It doesn't matter what you say. It only matters what you believe. When you take away a belief, what you should take out of church is a strengthening in your belief, your core beliefs, that you can go out in the world and you can live that, not because Pastor John said it, but because Jesus said it. Not because it's something that Family Church preaches or any other church or this denomination or that denomination. If that's where your stock is, then you're relying on them to be your savior. There is no power in the curly-haired, blonde, happy-looking Jesus on the wall of most churches. There's no power in it. There's no power in your cross. There's no power in your ornaments, your statues. There's no power in your church building. There's no power in this pulpit. There's no power in this book. The power is in the belief. The power is in the faith. So if you will have the faith, if you'll have the belief, of course we know this, that faith without works is dead, that it has to stir something. If it's not stirring something in you, then you need to start stirring something. Because faith only goes by action. Amen? Praise the Lord. The power is not in those things. Stop being superstitious people. Someone once said you could be a little stitious, just not superstitious. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stop being superstitious people, trying to fulfill some religious duty, and learn to live for the living God. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Hebrews 10:38. Just going to pull it up. Don't turn there. It's just before all that. Or maybe we won't, but I'll say it anyways. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what the Lord says. Amen? That's the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, my righteous one shall live by faith, not by words, not by ideals, not by things that your neighbor said, not by things that other people said, by faith in God. Amen? Trust in God. And if you trust in God, if you base your life on trusting God, it takes all the guesswork out of it. Why? Are you where God has called you to be in the church? Well, if you are, and you know that you are, then nothing can rob you of that.
Right.
Nothing can rob you of that. Trial won't rob you of that.
Right.
Me being an idiot won't rob you of that. I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
You're saying, Pastor Jeff, don't you call me an idiot, but I can be an idiot just like you can. Right? And if we act that way, like, listen, just because if you decide whether or not you're coming to church because of what your neighbor did to you in church, then you're dumb.
Yeah.
Why would you leave God because of what they did?
Yeah.
You know, if Caleb's going to be a dummy today, don't leave God because of that. Actually, you can learn how to love on Caleb and help him if you just love God.
Yeah.
It makes church so much easier.
Yeah.
It makes coming here so much easier.
That's right.
And that's why we have the best church in the world. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Might not be the biggest, but certainly the best.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart.